Hello, everyone. My name is Al Smith, and I'm the founder and director of Bishop Sheen Today. And I want to thank you for joining me for today's reflections during our Advent pilgrimage. We've been going through the book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, an anthology, a collection of Archbishop Sheen's writings on the topic of prayer. And we're on day 15 of our journey together, and we've been unpackaging Sheen's 1936 reflections on Calvary and the Mass. And so we're going to do another reflection today, and I'm going to bring up on our screen our study guide. And we've been blessed in that we've been sharing, of course, a few pages each day. And for you who have found us on the website bishopsheentoday.com, you'll see again the links to purchase the book through Sophia Institute Press, and they've been kind enough to lend their expertise, and so they have a number of Bishop Sheen titles that are made available to you. And so you can see we went through the Our Father together the first few days of this retreat, and then we put our thinking caps on and started to share thoughts about faith and belief and spiritual battle and prayer and sacrifice. So again, that was a great 7 days, just enjoying the wisdom of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And now we have been unpackaging Sheen's writings on Calvary and the Mass. And today we're going to talk about the consecration, and we'll end our reflection today by praying an exhortation to despise this world and to trust in providence. So looking forward to, again, being taught by Archbishop Sheen. Now, of course, just a reminder that we have a number of Christmas inspirations that we've been sharing on our YouTube channel. And so please join me throughout the Christmas season as we share one or two reflections each day. And again, thank you for joining me for this Advent retreat, which has its own blessing attached to it, of course, learning how to pray well. And so, again, I will begin with Sheen comparing the consecration of the Mass with the fourth word our Lord spoke from the cross on Calvary: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The fourth word is the consecration of the Mass of Calvary. We are now in the final stage of the Passion. In the fourth word, in all the universe, there is but God and Himself. This is the hour of darkness. Suddenly, out of its blackness, the silence is broken by a cry. So terrible, so unforgettable, that even those who did not understand the dialect remembered the strange tones. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They recorded it so, a rough wet rendering of the Hebrews, because they could never get the sound of those tones out of their ears all the days of their lives. The darkness that was covering the earth at the moment was only the external symbol of the dark night of the soul within. Well, indeed, might the sun hide its face at the terrible crime of deicide, a real reason why the earth was made was to have a cross erected upon it. And now that the cross was erected, creation felt the pain and went into darkness. But why the cry of darkness? Why the cry of abandonment? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the cry of atonement for sin. Sin is the abandonment of God by man. It is the creature forsaking the Creator, as a flower might abandon the sunlight, which gives it strength and beauty. Sin is a separation, a divorce, the original divorce from unity with God, whence all other divorces are derived. Since he came on earth to redeem man from sin, it was therefore fitting that he feels that abandonment, that separation, that divorce. He felt it first internally, in his soul, as the base of a mountain. If conscience might feel abandoned by the sun when a cloud drifted about it, even though its great heights were radiant with light. There was no sin in his soul, but since he willed to feel the effect of sin, an awful sense of isolation and loneliness crept over him, the loneliness of being without God. Surrendering the divine consolation that might have been his, he sank into an awful human aloneness to atone for the solitariness of a soul that has lost God by sin, for the loneliness of the atheist who says there is no God, for the isolation of the man who gives up his faith for things, and for the brokenheartedness of all sinners who are homesick without God. He even went so far as to redeem all those who will not trust, who in sorrow and misery curse and abandon God, crying out, "Why this death? Why should I lose my property? Why should I suffer?" He atoned for all these things by asking a why of God. But in order to reveal better the intensity of that feeling of abandonment, he revealed it by an external sign. Because man had separated himself from God, he, in atonement, permitted his blood to be separated from his body. Sin had entered into the blood of man, and as if the sins of the world were upon him, he drained the chalice of his body and his sacred blood. We can almost hear him say, "Father, this is my body. This is my blood." They are being separated from one another, as humanity has been separated from thee. This is the consecration of my cross. What happened there on the cross that day is happening now in the Mass, with this difference. On the cross, the Savior was alone. In the Mass, he is with us. Our Lord is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He therefore can never suffer again in his human nature. How then can the Mass be the reenactment of Calvary? How can Christ renew the cross? He cannot suffer again in his human nature, which is in heaven enjoying beatitude, but he can suffer again in our human natures. He can renew Calvary in his mystical body, but he can renew it in his mystical body. And let me correct that. I got that wrong, but let me make that right. Fulton Sheen writes, "He cannot renew Calvary in his physical body, but he can renew it in his mystical body, the church." The sacrifice of the cross can be reenacted, provided we give him our body and our blood, and give it to him so completely that as his own, he can offer himself anew to his heavenly Father for the redemption of his mystical body, the church. So the Christ goes out into the world, gathering up human natures who are willing to be Christ, in order that our sacrifices, our sorrows, our Golgothas, our crucifixions, may not be isolated, disjointed, and unconnected. The church collects them, harvests them, unifies them, coalesces them, masses them. And this massing of all our sacrifice of our individual human natures is united with the great sacrifice of Christ on the cross in the Mass. When we assist at Mass, we are not just individuals on the earth or solitary units, but living parts of a great spiritual order in which the infinite penetrates and unfolds the finite. The eternal breaks into the temporal, and the spiritual clothes itself in the garments of materiality. Nothing more solemn exists on the face of God's earth than the awe-inspiring moment of consecration. For the Mass is not a prayer, nor a hymn, nor something said. It is a divine act which we come in contact at a given moment of time. An imperfect illustration may be drawn from the radio. The air is filled with symphonies and speech. We do not put the words or music there, but if we choose, we may establish contact with them by tuning in our radio. And so with the Mass. It is a singular, unique, divine act that which we come in contact each time it is represented and reenacted in the Mass. When the die of a medal or coin is struck, the medal is the material, visible representation of a spiritual idea existing in the mind of the artist. Countless reproductions may be made from that original as each piece of metal is brought in contact with it and impressed by it. Despite the multiplicity of coins made, the pattern is always the same. In like manner, in the Mass, the pattern, Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, is renewed on our altars as each human being is brought in contact with it at the moment of consecration. But the sacrifice is one and the same, despite the multiplicity of Masses. The Mass, then, is the communication of the sacrifice of Calvary to us under the species of bread and wine. We are on the altar under the appearances of bread and wine, for both are the sustenance of life. Therefore, in giving that which gives us life, we are symbolically giving ourselves. Furthermore, wheat must suffer to become bread. Grapes must pass through the wine press to become wine. Hence, both are representative of Christians who are called to suffer with Christ, that they may also reign with him. As the consecration of the Mass draws near, our Lord is equivocally saying to us, "You, Mary, you, John, you, Peter, and you, Andrew, you, all of you, give me your body, give me your blood, give me your whole self. I can suffer no more. I have passed through my cross. I have filled up the sufferings of my physical body, but I have not filled up the suffering, the wantings to my mystical body, in which you are. The Mass is the moment which each one of you may literally fulfill my injunction, take up your cross and follow me." On the cross, our blessed Lord was looking forward to you, hoping that one day you would be giving yourselves to him at the moment of consecration. Today in the Mass, that hope our blessed Lord entertained for you is fulfilled. When you assist at the Mass, he expects you now to give him yourself. Then, as the moment of consecration arrives, the priests, in obedience to the words of our Lord, "Do this for commemoration of me," takes bread in his hands and says, "This is my body." And then over the chalice of wine says, "This is the chalice of my blood, of the new and eternal testament." He does not consecrate the bread and wine together, but separately. The separate consecration of the bread and the wine is a symbolic representation of the separation of body and blood. And since the crucifixion entailed that very mystery, Calvary is thus renewed on our altar. But Christ, as he has been said, is not alone on our altar. We are with him. Hence the words of consecration have a double sense. The primary signification of the words is, "This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ." But the secondary signification is, "This is my body. This is my blood." Such is the purpose of life, to redeem ourselves in union with Christ, to apply his marriage to our souls by being like him in all things, even to his death on the cross. He passed through his consecration on the cross that we might now pass through ours in the Mass. There is nothing more tragic in all the world than wasted pain. Think of how much suffering there is in hospitals and among the poor and the bereaved. Think also of how much of that suffering goes to waste. How many of those lonesome, suffering, abandoned, crucified souls are saying with the Lord at the moment of consecration, "This is my body, take it." And yet, that is what we should all be saying at the second. I give myself to God. Here is my body, take it. Here is my blood, take it. Here is my soul, my will, my energy, my strength, my property, my wealth, all that I have, it is yours. Take it. Consecrate it. Offer it. Offer it with thyself to the Heavenly Father in order that he, looking down on this great sacrifice, may see only thee, his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Transmute the poor bread of my life into the divine life. Throw the wine of my wasted life into the divine spirit. Unite my broken heart with thy heart. Change my cross into a crucifix. Let not my abandonment of my sorrow and my bereavement go to waste. Gather up the fragments, and as the drop of water is absorbed by the wine at the offertory of the Mass, let my life be absorbed in thine. Let my little cross be entwined with thy great cross, so that I may purchase the joys of everlasting happiness in union with thee. Consecrate these trials of my life, which would go unrewarded unless united with thee. Transubstantiate me so that like bread, which is now thy body, and wine, which is now thy blood, I too may be wholly thine. I care not if the species remain, or that like the bread and wine, I seem to all earthly eyes the same as before. My station in life, my routine duties, my work, my family, all these are but the species of my life, which may remain unchanged. But the substance of my life, my soul, my mind, my will, my heart, transubstantiate them, transform them wholly into thy service, so that through me all may know how sweet is the love of Christ. Amen. Beautiful words from the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen of how we have that great opportunity at Mass to offer our lives, to know when the priest is consecrating the bread and wine, that we can place ourselves there and give God everything, our work, our joy, our sorrows, our pain, and to place it all there on the altar to be offered up and to unite ourselves to Christ. Again, sometimes we miss that opportunity, but Sheen pulls us in and reminds us to pay attention especially and to unite everything to him. And so this is beautiful, the consecration. And I pray that you'll be meditating on that throughout the day. And so let us now finish our time together by reciting a beautiful prayer. And again, this one has a great title. It's an exhortation to despise this world and the short prosperity of the wicked and to trust in providence. And it's a beautiful psalm. So let's pray this together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good. and dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed with his riches. Delight in the Lord, and he will give thee the request of thy heart. Commit thy way to the Lord, and trust in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth thy justice as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Be subject to the Lord, and pray to him. Envy not the man who prospereth in his way, the man who doth unjust things. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to kill the upright of heart. Let their sword enter into their own hearts, and let their bow be broken. Decline from evil and do good, and dwell forever and ever. For the Lord loveth judgment and will not forsake his saints. They shall be preserved forever. The unjust shall be punished, and the seed of the wicked shall perish. But the just shall inherit the land, and shall dwell therein forevermore. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank you for joining me today for our reflection, and I encourage you to come back tomorrow as we continue to journey through the book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And so until next time, may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look upon you kindly and bring you peace. God love you.